Grace. Oh, great, grace. Let's get into this. Now, grace, have you noticed there's a theme going on today? It's kind of funny because I'm old enough to realize that, you know, the Mario Brothers, when we were walking in, that was cool back when I was a kid. I was like, Mario Brothers, level two, boop, 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 boop. That was high tech. And now it's so, it's so not, yeah, it's like, yeah, anyway, now it's a joke. But you know, tonight I want to talk about grace. And, you know, when I think about the word grace, when we look at what the Bible calls grace, grace is just that. Grace is super. Grace has nothing to do with regular. Grace has nothing to do with anything ordinary. Grace has everything to do with the word super. Hence the Super Mario Brothers. The super thing. Because, see, God's called us to live a life that's filled with his grace. Now, here's the thing. Turn to Ephesians 3. I'm going to go to a popular verse here, but it's just such a good place. We need to read this verse until it's burned into our memory. But you see, God's desire for me and you is to live a super life, is to live a life that's bigger than your average everyday run-of-the-mill life. You know, this is something that we need to get into ourselves. This is something we need to hear over and over again until we really believe it, until we really begin to live a super life. Because you see, there should be something different about you. If you say that you know Jesus, and if you say that you believe in God, and if you say that I pay attention in church, if you say that I want to know God more, if you say I want to live a life that honors God, if you say that, then you really, really, I really, really need to make sure that our life is living by super standards, that our life is not, it doesn't just fit in with the regular norm. You see, grace has everything to do with living a life that is abnormal, unusual, strange, peculiar, not your status quo kind of life. You see, God's called us to live a super life according to this word called grace. In Ephesians 3:20, 3:20 and 21, matter of fact, the whole chapter here in Ephesians 3 talks about this word grace. I mean, it even says that in Ephesians 3:2, it says, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation or the distribution, the giving out, the passing out of grace. You know, God's telling us here is, haven't you heard of the dispensation, the giving out of the grace of God? It's given to me for you. You see, God wants to get you his grace. It goes on and begins to talk about all these different things of what grace can do and where it is and the desire. It says, I became a minister according to the gift of grace. The grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. It continues on and says, verse 20, it says, now to him, capital H, Jesus, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus in all generations forever and ever. It says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, beyond your wildest imaginations, more than enough. Super duper amazingness. Wowie wow. You know, just big stuff. You see, that's the kind of life that God's called us to live. And I love the parallel between Super Mario Brothers, because number one is I love video games and I'm a nerd. Old school video games are tight. My sister-in-law just got a Super Nintendo and I'm just waiting to break into it. You know, I mean, Super Mario World with Yoshi. I mean, just going to do some damage there. But when we live life as little Mario. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he can hit the blocks. Doong. Doong. And don't break. The Koopa comes in and touches him. And he dies. It's really sad. You know what I'm saying? He can jump, kind of. His legs are really short. You know, I mean, it's the way he is when he's born. He's little Mario. Sad, you know? But then all of a sudden he gets that mushroom. That's what I'm talking about. He gets bigger. And all of a sudden he becomes bigger. So when he hits the blocks, they explode. You know, all of a sudden when he jumps on things, he can even get hit. And instead of him dying, he goes, thank you. It's my message has all of a sudden become super. When he gets the fire flower, he can throw fire out of his nose. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Mario, he becomes big, and all of a sudden he becomes huge. He becomes intimidating, or he can, or even like we saw in the video, he gets that superstar, and all of a sudden he becomes invincible. No, that's not the one. That's when he's running out of time. That would be little Mario. That's okay. They're too young. They don't remember. But you know, he gets a start. And he can run, and he can beat up, and he can just plow through the Koopas, and he can plow through all the evil things, and then those weird little octopus guys in level 3. He can just take care of all of them. And you know, and it all applies to the older Mario Brothers games too. You know, with the feather and then the leaf and Mario 3. Anyway, like I said, you know, it all applies. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you know, something happens in his life that makes him be able to do things that he couldn't usually do. Now, when you get Jesus Christ living alive on the side of your life, we become a Christian. And all of a sudden, when we become a Christian, we shouldn't live a life that's restricted. We should live a life that's free. Live a life without limits. We should be able to live a life without boundaries, without having the chains of depression, without having the chains of addiction, without having the chains of I can't do it. I mean, we should be able to live a life that throws all of this garbage off of us and live a life of fullness, hugeness, massiveness. Live a life that is just unstoppable. When we live a life living in God's grace, that's he's called us to live a life beyond our wildest dreams. So how can we give up on the smallest dreams in our life all the time? How come? Our life should look different. The average life expects certain things. And I know because I've talked to people. I remember I talked to a person who said who told me she expects to get divorced at least once in her life. She expects to find someone, marry them, and then eventually divorce them. She just, because that's where her family worked. So she's expecting to have a couple husbands in her life. That's what our world expects nowadays. Our world expects to have depression to come along. You know, our world expects to all of a sudden have certain immorality or certain sins. You know, we expect to put up with certain things. If you watch any type of TV shows, whether it's Degrassi, whether you're watching, maybe Degrassi's the only one that pops in my head. But you know, if you're watching any of these shows, you know, whether it is, you know, on primetime or cable or whatever, we're given this idea of this is what normal life is like. This is what real people go through, and this is just the way you cope with it. And the truth couldn't be any further than that. Because God's called us not to live a life of the things we see like that. Drugs, weed, meth, parties, getting drunk and wasted. I mean, God's called us to rise above stuff like that. And, you know, when some people call that fun, all of a sudden, you know, God's called you to live a life that's so much more enjoyable than the garbage this world wants to feed us. That ends up in cirrhosis of the liver, ends up with abortions, ends up with, you know, regrets, ends up with disease, ends up with people cutting themselves, ends up with, you know, ends up with losing your teeth and your hair falling out because of an addiction you can't kick because you thought it'd be okay to try it just once or twice. All of a sudden, God's called us to live a life different than that. Went to Starbucks the other day, as I often do. And then the barista guy, he knows me. He's like, Richard, because I go there. It's an addiction. I need a break. But he's like, the person ahead of you paid for you. I'm like, really? They paid for my Frappuccino? This is awesome! And they're like, yeah, you know, you're about the person that's done that they've been. And he's like, it's been going from car to car to car. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are being free Frappuccinos all day almost. And they tell me the people, and I'm like, he's like, well, would you like to continue? Would you like to pay for the? And I'm like, heck yeah, pay for the person behind me. What do they want? And they're like, he's like, well, actually, the person behind you's already been paid for. They had paid for people's drinks two cars back. So I'm like, then I'll pay for the person behind them. And they're like, it's $11. And I'm thinking, do it. And I'm like, oh crap. And my wife's like, where'd all the money go? And I paid for them. And I went back another day, 3 hours later, pretty much. And that's a joke. Bad one, but it's a joke. And I said, well, how did it go that one day when people were paying? And he's like, it was awesome. These people were Christians. They started. They were paying for everything, blessing other people. And he's so glad you did this. And he said it went on for 26 cars. 26 cars. Boom, boom. I know. I'm like, dang. Oh, it's kind of cool. And he said, kept on going. And I said, really? Well, what happened? The last one. I mean, and he said, well, the last one, this lady came up and she was like, oh, hey. And he was like, and then I said, well, would you like to pay for the person behind you? And she's like, oh, I'm not gonna, this is a free Frappuccino for me. And she stopped, you know? I mean, I don't know if that's what she sounded like, but I figured she had attitude or something like that. But I just can't figure smiling and saying that. And it stopped there. And you see, a Christian out of a little, just at the very basis, smallest, little, tiniest, itty-bitty grace, super, super, super differenceness of someone who's not being selfish, all of a sudden, a little, I'm going to buy you a Frappuccino. Grace, I'm going to live a little bit different than that lady who said, this is my Frappuccino. I'm not going to be selfish. All of a sudden, you know, Christians, people who love Jesus, begin to live a life that's different than people who live a life for themselves. And if we can differentiate ourselves by doing small, little, dumb things like that, can't we raise the bar by doing larger things, by getting beyond the imagination, by living up to the hugeness and massiveness of God's goodness and grace? See, at this church, this is how we know grace. A lot of people know grace. It says grace is God's gift that saves us. You don't deserve it, but God gives you, it gets you to heaven. And it's true. But grace goes beyond that. Because when God gave us this word called grace, it doesn't just get you to heaven. Because if the whole goal of living life was to get you to heaven, then when you raise your hand at the end of service and come forward and we pray, then we would baptize you and hold you down until you stop moving and send you to heaven. That's what we would do if that was a whole point. You know, but we're not some weird freakish church like that. Because there's so much more. There's so much more than just going to heaven. There's like the next 60, 70, 80 years of your life you've got to do. And grace, thank you, Jesus. Let me say that. Your grace gets you through that and above the next 60, 70, 80 years. See, we know, this is how we understand grace here. If you look in the Bible, this is what grace is. Grace is God's sovereign, if you know it, say it with me, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Cool. Some people know. Some know what I'm talking about. It's 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Put it up there. I don't want to turn that over. Put it up there. Because it was up there. You guys are cheaters. It says this. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10 said, he said to me, capital H means capital M, my, that means Jesus, God. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities, the things I can't do, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses and all these horrible, sucky, crappy things for Christ's sake. For when I am weak and then I am strong, his grace is enough. You see, his word grace is that super ability. It's that mushroom. It's not shrooms, mushrooms. It's that, for the illustration's purpose, it's that star. It's that fire flower. It's that little feather. It's that whatever else it is in the new one, whatever Wario doesn't want you to have. It's these things that get you to live a life that's bigger than normal. And when we can understand that when I am weak, when I can't do something, when God calls me to do something bigger than I can really, than I can think I can do, then I need his grace. I need God's power to make me be able to live a life that's bigger than normal. That when I want to strike back, when I want to curse, when I want to be able to run away, when I want to kill myself, when I want to hurt, when all of a sudden, when sin comes knocking at my door and I just want to give up this thing called being a Christian, when I do that, all of a sudden God's grace needs to come into my life and allow me to live a life that's bigger than, because grace is the thing that God's given us, the power that's available to us to get us through it all. And not just get us through it all, but to get us above it and beyond it. See, he says, when I'm weak, he's strong. When I need his grace. Paul, the guy who wrote this, had a problem. And he said, you don't need an answer. God said, look, Paul, you don't need an answer. You don't need me to take this away. You need my power. You need my grace. You need something bigger than yourself. Because if you're living a life that you can handle, if you're living a life that you're comfortable with, if I am living a life that fits within my box of living, then you're not living in grace. You're living in a life that you can imagine. You're living in a life that you can contain. And you and I, we're living in a life that's just going to kind of
get by every day. But when we live a life that's kind of scary, that makes us nervous, when you live a life that says, you know what, I'm not happy with C's anymore on my report card. When you live a life that says, you know what, I'm not happy with hating my father that I don't know anymore. When you live a life that says, you know what, I'm going to break up with my boyfriend because he ain't no good anyway. Even though I don't want to be alone, I'm going to do it because God has something better for me. When you do that, all of a sudden you break that box and you don't live in the everyday humdrum normal this and that, whatever may come. You don't live a life that says, oh, well, you know what, at least I'm going to heaven. You live a life that says, forget about going to heaven. I'm going to bring heaven down in my life right now and cause some change up in this place. Amen. See, the truth be told is this, is people who really live for God are a little impatient. They don't want to wait for heaven. They want heaven to come to them. They live a life that lives in heaven each and every day. They refuse to live a life on earth like everybody else. Not because me or you are special. Nothing great or wonderful. I mean, I know you guys are beautiful and cute and all that, but you know what? You do it because God's grace is available. Because God said he can in you. Hebrews 4:16 says this. This is an underliner. I'm telling you, man. Get your crayons out and circle this bad boy. Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Of grace. Of God's ability. Let's come boldly to this chair God sits in called, I want you to do greater than you're doing now. Let us come to this throne of grace that we could what? Get mercy and find grace to what? Help us. Why we need help? Because you can't do it on your own, sucker. And find grace to help in time of need. Grace is just God's power given to you to do what you can't do on your own. That's all grace is. It's God's power given to you to do what you that's why you need God's grace to get to heaven. That's why you need God's grace to be a Christian. Because you can't do it on your own. Now, today, tomorrow, next week, week after, whatever it is, grace does certain things. See, God gives us grace to overcome sin. Now, this is a funny one, and we got to start off here. And we're gonna do a couple things and shut this down in just a couple minutes. But you need to realize this: is it's all got to start here with grace. Is God's given you grace to overcome sin because you can't overcome sin on your own, on the problems you have in your life. And I don't want to stay here because there's bigger things. But this is the first thing to know: is that God's called you to live a life that's holy. God's called you to live a life that's not hung up in these things of the world. Because if you live your Christian life, if you live your life for God, going from one sin to getting over the next sin to getting over the next sin, then you're still stuck on level one, man. You're still hitting the same blocks, going around the same flagpole, jumping over the same problems. If the only thing we do in life is to go from one problem to the next problem, then we're stuck at the first level. But you need to get past the first level to go to level 2 and 3 and 4. You see, God's given you grace to overcome sin. People who don't know God, you can't get mad at them if they're beating people up. And you can't get mad at them if they're bullying. You can't get mad at them if they're sleeping with everybody and their mother. You can't get mad at them if they're doing stupid things, if they're making fun of God. You can't get mad at them because that's what they do. They sin because they don't got Jesus. So they can't stop sinning. It's hard for them to put down the pipe, you know, because they don't have Jesus. They don't have God's grace on the inside of them. But you, if you call yourself a Christian, it should be different. It should be different. See, it's what I got a drama. On Q's got this drama they want to show you real quick. And it kind of begins, it exemplifies, it shows us what this looks like. It's a picture of God's grace working active and alive inside of us. So here's what we're going to do. You guys go ahead and bring it up, and then I'll be right back in a minute. No matter what we do in life, it's, you know, we can fight it, you can butt up against it, you can run from it, you can do whatever you can to get away from the problems, the pressures, the temptations in life. And you know, you can't get away. You become a slave to it. The Bible says you're going to be slave to either the world and sin, or you'll become slave to God and his kingdom. You got to serve somebody. And if it's not going to be God, it's going to be sin. But when they make that choice, when God comes into their life, all of a sudden, his grace is available for us to get through and to go from and overcome it all. There's no excuse for us to be locked up and chained up, living a life that God's freed us from. There's no reason it should be amazingly difficult, impossible for us to kick a habit, because God's grace is so there. And that's not a guilt trip to anybody who's been trying to stop doing something. But you know what? Maybe it's time for us as Christians to say, I need to come to the throne of grace. Maybe it's time for us as Christians, as even as teenagers, to say, you know, look, I'm sick and tired of living a life without power. Because as Christians, all the time, we end up living a life that says we know God, but we don't know his power. Say, I love Jesus, but he's not alive in us, working in and through us. You know, tonight, we need to make a decision that says, I'm going to choose to live in God's grace. I'm going to choose to live a life that's bigger than my own. I'm going to choose to live a life that isn't ruled by the world. You know, we talked about it Sunday, Romans 5, 20 and 21. It said, look, the Bible says where sin abounds, where sin is huge, where the problems are against you in such a wall that you can't see around it, it says grace abounds all that much more. God will never be outnumbered. God's power will never be laughed at. God's power will never have to back down. Because where sin is, no matter how strong it is, grace abounds all that much more. Let me get the band up here real quick.